Clock Talk Radio.
All right, now we live, we live.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad.
I like this.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Koopy Afore.
Video. I am host Koopy Afore.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Let's start the show. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house.
Hi, now.
Yo, man, I gotta check this intro. Can you hear this?
I can hear.
Yeah, we gotta talk to brother. So if you're not listening on NSF Father Radio, we got an intro going on. This is Money Talk. You're listening to Ryan Stone. I am the Prosperity Professor. I'm joined with my astute, esteemed colleague, Brandon Anthony Clark. You can catch him at All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. What's up, everybody? It's Thursday, first Thursday of the year, and we are well within 2021, man. 2021 told 2020 to hold my beer.
It did, man. I saw that meme earlier, and I was like, man, 2020 was like, hey, stand back. I got to get a little bit of echo, man. Are you hearing it?
No, I actually can't hear anything from the radio. Can you hear me on the radio?
AirPods in, so I can hear radio.
Gotcha. We'll figure this out eventually.
Gotcha. Question. Do you have the sound on your phone?
Yes. What are your thoughts, man? I mean, I don't want to get too political, but man, I think my angle on it was, and I was a lot like the other bears that was happening, is that yesterday, if you were watching the stock market, it came up pretty good. Futures was up, and things were looking pretty good yesterday up until about 1, 2, 3 o'clock p.m., which is when all that stuff went down on the East Coast. And so I actually saw dramatic drops yesterday. And I think what a lot of people thought was the markets were going to tank today. And I would have been one of those people. I thought today was going to be a red day. Typically, the markets follow what's going on in the world. But today was rockets to the moon in the stock market. So definitely. I mean, it doesn't make a lick of sense, right? It doesn't make a lick of sense. And so I think on the one hand, what does that point out? Well, on the one hand, that points out that this year is going to be just as insane, if not more, than last year. But on the flip side, it also just reiterates what we've been saying all along. If you're not being specific and strategic and smart with your money, you're going to be left in the dust. Very, very quickly. And that transfer of wealth that's just been kind of increasing over time, over the past year, is just expedited. And that transfer is going even faster. Now, that's not to say that nobody can get in still. I think there's a huge window of opportunity this year for anybody starting anything, really. But what it comes down to is, are you effectively planning around each piece of that, and are you assigning a job to each of your dollars?
What does that even really mean, assigning a job to each of your dollars? I got a good friend of mine who's all on the time. He's been on this journey from, I used to be a good one, I got money, not just spending on everything. Like, I call things, make a lot, but I won't always be spending. I won't really invest in other things. And so, him and I were talking, and I was telling him, I was like, listen, man, I'm about to make $20,000 this month. And I was telling him everything that I was going to do with $20,000. And he was like, he stopped me like this.
I am not, I do not recommend stocks to anybody other than close friends. Hey, Brandon, I'm just going to pause real quick. Can we do a quick technical pause? And can you check? Because, guys, for those of you that are just on Instagram and Facebook right now, we're also on NSF Radio, NS Fatherhood Radio. And, Brandon, I just want to make sure your audio is right on that. Can you check your phone and make sure you're not on hold still? Cause you can hear me, but I don't think I can hear you, buddy. No, can you, I'm going to hang up. Can you call in one more time?
Yeah, I'll call back.
All right, cool. But yeah, man, so basically I was the same way. I was always making sure that I had a plan with my money. And last year the plan was just accumulate, accumulate, accumulate. And I was very strategic about putting it in a savings that was outpacing inflation, but still safe. And I actually just did a video on that on my page about where's the best place to save your money, where you still need access to it, but it's also going to grow, right? And the answer is not the blank. The answer is not the bank, sorry. Hey, Brandon, test your audio real quick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Much better, much better. That's thanks, better, man.
Okay. So this, man. Oh, yeah. Phone,
but I'm just going to stick out with this. Say one more thing for me. Perfect.
Yeah, man. That's good, man. So I guess why don't we just talk about that a little bit, talking about planning. What are we going to do with our money when we get it? Your dollars should have jobs. They should be assigned to do something
100%.
Other than have fun and pay bills. Most of my dollars go to make other dollars. That's their job. I assign the job of recruiting other dollars to the dollars that I have.
That's your main
and
job.
And then those dollars that I make, they go recruit more dollars. And that's
100%.
All I want to do. And I recommend that everybody want to do that. If you want to have a certain level of comfortability, certain level of freedom and security. All right. And, you know, we're professionals. Like, we're professional planners. This is what we do. People come to us because they need help planning, right? But we only specialize in certain areas, right? We can only do so much, you know? Like Ryan, man, do you mind sharing a story? Maybe like a recent story, maybe an old story where, you know, maybe somebody came to you, they wanted some direction, maybe they didn't have any money at all, and you wanted to, and they needed your help. Is anything ring a bell like that?
I mean, that is a lot of the people that I meet with are either starting out or they have some money saved up, but they don't really know what to do with it. And so I would say typically I help people around that area. And that really reminds me of one particular story, dude, because, and you'll agree, when we meet with someone, it's sometimes I won't get any particular plan for someone. Sometimes there's no product that is available for them yet, and they have to do a little work first. Ultimately, my job is not just to sell something to someone. My job is to make sure that you have a cohesive plan that is actually it's built on a foundation that's going to protect you no matter what comes. And so a lot of people, what I've noticed, a lot of people's financial plans, if you think of it like a triangle, they have it upside down, where their first bit of money when they try and pay themselves goes directly into risky investments, either a qualified plan like a 401k or an IRA, or directly into the stock market. But they haven't yet created the base of their foundation. They haven't created a foundation to maintain that income. So the first step, obviously, is to get your income in place. The next step is to lower your debts and increase your monthly pay, your monthly cash flow. And then you want to get something in place where you're going to guarantee that income no matter what. Because here's the thing about investments. What's the number one thing that investments need in order to be successful besides money?
Time.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing about time is that nobody knows how much we have. So you could have the best investment in the world. You bought in at the lowest price point, and it's guaranteed to grow. But in what time frame? And you are not guaranteed that time frame in life. So we want to make sure that we have something in place that creates a foundation no matter how much time you have left. And some investments need more time than others.
Yeah,
right?
They do, man. And absolutely.
So that brings me to my story.
Use their house as a lot of people's home is their biggest asset, and that is not. Or I'm not gonna say yeah, their biggest and most valuable asset, which shouldn't be the case, shouldn't be true, because that's technically kind of a liability of an asset, depending on how we use it.
Depending on how you use it.
Even if you own the house free and clear, and you don't have a mortgage or nothing, all the stuff is paid off. What do you still owe? Every year, property taxes.
Homeowners.
Those never go away. If you
liability.
HOA. If you stop paying your property taxes, guess what? You lose the house.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? And so you see people who get older, they'll start spending down the equity in their house, whether it's through like reverse mortgages or refinancing, meaning they got to go qualify to get a bank to loan them money. And if they default, then the house,
I just
the
spoke
bank
to a
takes
lady.
The house.
I just spoke to a 70-year-old lady this morning.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Hawaii. Her husband worked at a Fortune 500 company making buku bucks. They lived out into this beautiful home in Hawaii. They lived there for 15 years. Multiple six figures, you know, nice couple in their golden years. Husband still working.
Mm-hmm.
They have that dream home in Hawaii, right? They're getting ready for retirement. Husband kicked the bucket last month, passed away.
Oh, no. Wow. That's
so this
bad.
70-year-old lady has 15 years left on a mortgage. Guess how much the mortgage payment is a month? This beautiful home in Hawaii on the beach. $7,000 a month. She has no income. You know, almost no assets that are not tied up in the business, right? As the business grew, her husband continued to invest in the business. And so what you're saying is exactly her case. She is cash poor, asset rich, and has nowhere to turn except liquidate the company that she has very little say in anymore, or sell her house.
Yeah.
And when you're young, it's like doesn't really seem like a big deal. But at 70 years old, moving is not at the top of your list of things to do.
Right.
You know,
right,
especially
right. And
you're in your dream home on a beach in Hawaii that you built with your husband. And so basically the plan he had in place, Brandon, was that the company would pay her mortgage for 6 months after he passed.
Wow.
That was it. And so it just goes to show you, like, it doesn't matter how much money you make. If you don't have a specific plan in mind, if you don't have a foundation built, a lot can be destroyed very, very quickly.
A lot can be destroyed quickly, man. That's sad, man. That's terrible, man. And that's why, like, I don't know about you, man. I like to take my time when it comes to planning. Like, even when I'm, like, kind of sitting down with somebody, I kind of set an expectation. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a long process, and it's a big commitment on not just their end with me, on my end with them. It's a huge commitment. You know what I'm saying? And so because at the end of the day, we all got to do what's really going to be comfortable for us, what we feel like is comfortable, what's going to be in our best interest, right? And more times than not, we trust what our close friends and families do or what we see them do versus what really works.
100%, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, man, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Probably not. But when it comes to money and finance, that's what people do. They just kind of mimic what the
dude,
math is.
Yeah, 100%. And isn't that kind of illustrated by, you know, the fact that how many people do you talk to who just are – who blindly put into their 401k because everybody else in the room, their fellow employees, their peers, they all signed up for it too right away, right? And you get a 20-minute HR meeting, maybe, about what the pros and cons are. You sign over a certain percentage of your paycheck, and that's it. And you don't really know any of the issues or problems until you actually come to face them. And
what are the rules?
It's robbery, man. Because if we could never sell like that. We could be like, yeah, you'll make maybe this, maybe that, and the government might be able to take as much as they want out at any time. Sign here. Nobody would buy that.
Nobody would buy that.
But because
if you can get somebody you trust to give it to you, people will buy whatever.
But because everybody is going into these 401ks and IRAs because everybody's doing it. And they're continuing to do it. And then you have radio pundits who are making a fee on it, like Dave Scamsey. And, you know, he's telling you to buy term, invest the difference. And where does he have you buy term? At his website. Like,
that's a man, you know, I'm real big on TikTok, right?
And yeah, man.
What was you going to say?
Where you at? Where you at in the followers? What do you mean you're real big?
I feel like I'm real big. I got about 30,000 followers. I'm not just saying that as like, oh, that's just dope, right? You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying like
TikTok's a gold mine.
It's pretty cool, man, you know? And like you'll get people that'll comment and stuff like that. And it's just so funny to see all of the different points of views on TikTok and what everybody thinks they're just like an expert or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And there's this one guy. I might be able to pull up the comment. I don't even want to pull up the comment, but
we don't need a racist.
but it was so funny because I asked a lot of questions. You know, when people respond like negatively, I just ask questions and just to figure out where they like, where'd you hear that from?
And you know who else?
More times
really
than not, it's because they heard it. They heard somebody say it. I'm like, well, where did they hear it from?
You know who else? You know, I'll caution you with that. You know who else just prodded with questions. He was a really smart guy, but they ended up killing him for it. Was Socrates, and that's what Socrates was famous for. Is that he claimed to have known nothing, and that's why he was said to be the wisest. And all of his philosophical writings that Plato wrote about him are him just asking questions. And so by you doing that, man, you know you're just pushing their buttons. But at the same time, you have to open their minds to it because they never thought about it.
Man. Yeah. And anybody listening to this right now, remember we're on NSF Radio. We do need to stop and pause and pay the bills, don't we? Then we
got
to do a quick break. Is it time yet?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. But one of the things I learned, man, and this goes for anybody, you can use this. This is a little communication trick. God gave us one mouth and two ears.
I knew where you're going.
Use it accordingly. Most people just talk. And if you just listen, you can figure out their problem or figure out where they're coming from. But it also helps you because it helps you communicate better. So what do I mean by that? If I have a habit, it's a speech habit of where if somebody asks me a question, I answer that question with a question. Because I need to understand exactly what you mean by what you just asked me. I don't want to jump to a conclusion, first of all, and automatically assume that what you said was what you meant.
Same thing. People ask me, like, because I always say, I'm trying to start the hashtag ditch the 401k, and I'm putting it everywhere. And so a lot of people will tell me, well, what do you recommend? And I'll say, well, I don't even know you, so I'm not going to recommend anything. I don't know who you are or what you're doing. Everybody's financial plan is like a fingerprint, and it's unique to you. And so if you hear – what's up, Trav? If you hear someone tell you, like, this is a one-size-fits-all, I would run quickly away from that person because there are very few financial products that truly work for everyone. You know, and that's the same with anything, right? And so I always ask questions, and I don't make any recommendations until I know exactly what you're doing. And even then, I won't really. I'd rather just give you, you know, the two different options, and you pick which is best for you. Trav says, what's up with these lights, guys?
What's up with the lights, man? Hey, man, I like switching it up a little bit, man. Get the red light special all through the night. Hey, that's the jam. I hope we don't get in trouble for that. But we get back.
You know what,
get it back,
you know what I'm trying to figure out is I'm trying to figure out how to pay the bill. So this is pretty cool, guys. Talk about this for like starting a business. Right. Like, you have
starting
an idea.
Right.
If you have an idea this year and you've been thinking about like, oh, maybe I should try that one idea. Like, I don't know if it'll work. I had a video about this on New Year's Day. Please go for it. Trav says no one can see you in that Nipsey blue.
How about Money Green? Is Money Green a little better?
It's a little brighter.
If it's money,
you need some more
Money Talk Live, man.
You need some more lumens.
Some more lumens.
Should we match?
Right, I'll go white.
I could flip to green.
There we go.
Oh, shit. Okay.
How's that going? Yeah, man. Man, we should tell the story. How did this whole Money Talk Live thing come about?
I'll tell you exactly the story of Money Talk, bro. Money Talk is the evolution of the Bread Club.
Yeah.
Money Talk.
Shout out to my man, Aaron Lamb.
Yeah, this was, and I remember the first Bread Club talks that we did. I remember I was sitting in my armchair, and we were talking about, like, this is like right when we first started our journey in infinite banking. And we had a couple of podcasts, right? And now we're making, you know, a couple grand a month doing it on the radio. And it's like, what? So that's what I'm saying. If you have an idea, like, just start it. Just start it. If you have an idea about an investment, just do it. If you have an idea about a job or a business opportunity, I've wanted to do e-commerce for years. And this year I just jumped the gun and I was like, you know what's stopping me is like the technical difficulties of actually starting the website. Mm-hmm. So I was like, screw it. I don't need that. So I outsourced. I found a dude on Fiverr and he built me 3 e-com sites. They're up and running now. And now I can focus on what I really want, which is marketing them. You know what I mean? And so I just delegated it. And so for a couple $100 for money that was just sitting in the bank, I turned that money into an income producing asset that is going to continue to bring me more money. And I'm really excited. So I'm also filming some video series about that to show people the model that I'm using. I know there's tons and tons and tons of resources out there as well. But everybody's story is unique. Everybody's story matters. And there's always one more person, one more new person listening. So I think stories that are worth telling more than once.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, man. And so that's what's up. That's amazing, man. I wish I could add something to that, but I really can't.
Well, no, it started with money, the bread talk. So how did you get the idea for the bread talk or for the bread club?
How did I get it? Okay, so this is how the Bread Club came about, man. Nobody knows Aaron, of course not, but there's another friend of ours. His name is Aaron, right? And we used to work together. Real good guy. Younger,
Aaron's a G.
But he's
Aaron's a money guy.
I like Aaron. Yeah, Aaron's a guy, man. And he's he always has done stocks, man. He got his degree in finance or something. One of those. And one day, me and him were talking, trying to figure out how we could grow our business, like what we do now. And,
the advisory business.
The advisory business. And one day he came in and he was kind of not, I don't want to say stressed out, but I could just tell like he was just not all the way there. And the reason why is because he had put together this whole portfolio of stocks for his family to pick. And me, I didn't really have any background in stocks at all. You know what I'm saying? But I always wanted to learn. And I'm like, Aaron, well, let me see what you got there. And he had this whole book of stocks that he had went through and analyzed and broke down the stocks. And was like, yeah, you could probably get this one now and, make some money with it. And I was like, oh, well, that's pretty dope, you know. And I'm looking through it. I'm like, Aaron, this is great, man. You can sell this stuff. Like, why aren't you – you should sell this stuff. Like, that's what I was looking at. I was like, I would pay for this. That's what I told him. And so he taught me like about PE ratios and PEG ratios, which are different, and kind of how to like look at a stock, how to go look at a company's financial reports to see how much cash they have in reserves and so we were literally like doing classes on Facebook.
I learned a ton in those first classes.
Yeah, yeah. And we're bringing that back. We're not a financial advisor.
I like that. I like Nada. Shout out to Nada Fan. Yeah, shout out to him. He's got some fire memes too. I like his stuff.
Yeah, man. And so that kind of evolved, and it was the Bread Club. But Aaron is no longer with us, but he will be back. He just had to go take care of some stuff.
Yeah, he didn't die. Don't say it like that.
Like business stuff. Business.
He's no longer with us. Like, that's not something for a life insurance agent to say.
Yeah, man. Nah, he's with us in spirit. He's not with us in spirit. He's doing something different right now, but he'll be back.
Yeah.
We talked, and we built a huge, huge organization here. And evolved from Bread Club.
Exactly, and that's why I think we should have him on the show at least once a week with a stock pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down to do that. I still got some stocks he told me to get.
Me too.
I should have got out of the bank stock at the right moment when I got them. Yeah. I see a comment here. PAP ratio, what's that? That was a sign from my NBA. Forgot that. I can't remember what it's the price to earnings ratio. That's what it is. Price to earnings. So I think you got to look for like a PE ratio of below 15. If it's higher than 15, then the stock is overpriced or something. So price to earnings ratio. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on this. But I think it's the price of the stock compared to how much you expect to earn.
This is why I'm not
earning the stock, but the company's earning. This is why I don't do stocks.
You will never see me with a security license.
Yeah. Oh, you got to get somebody to pick that for me. If it makes sense, it makes sense to me. You know, is it time to pay the bills?
We can do that. All right. I'm going to run the ads, and I'm going to meet you on the radio.
All right. Meet me on.
Tune in to the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio Show. Every Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet.
Always playing the sounds. Playing the sounds.
Your systems are offline.
Radio. Always playing the sounds. Playing the sounds.
Man, y'all got some cool.
All right, we're back. What's up, NSF Fatherhood Radio? We're back on Money Talk. We're live on Instagram as well at The Prosperity Professor or All Heroes Don't Wear Capes, or you can view us at Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, Brandon. We're just talking about 2021. Hold my beer, 2020.
Yeah. All
right, you're back here.
I don't know how. Hey, so we got. I honestly don't even really know the answer to that question. That's how new this is. So let's talk about the story of how we even got this Money Talk show on NSF Radio, because it was so unconventional, right? So true story. About 3 months ago, I posted this video on TikTok, and this video went viral. Literally got like a 500,000 views, where I was talking about 401ks and tax codes and how to use life insurance as your own private family bank. It went viral, blew up, and a lot of people started contacting me just kind of out of nowhere. One of the people who reached out to me was Brother Alfred. Shout out, Brother Alfred. That's my guy right there. He's actually the owner of NSF Radio, which is a nonprofit for fathers, right? So go check him out, nsffatherhood.org, if you want to donate. And
yeah, we should have him on and talk a little bit about that too.
We should, man. He's a funny guy, man. I like that guy a lot. But and he lives in Maine. I don't know how many African American or black men live in Maine, but he lives in Maine. I was like, it's probably dope out in Maine. Like, probably
it's
got
cool.
Some bomb clam chowder and stuff.
They got bomb lobster seafood, man.
I bet.
Maine's
so
cool.
He hit me
cheap
up.
Cheap real estate too.
Oh yeah, they do. And, he hit me up one day. And he was like, hey man, I saw your video. How would you like to be on our radio show? And I said, sure. Why not? Because I was at this stage of my life where I wasn't turning down no opportunity, because I know what turning down an opportunity means. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, sure. I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but sure. Why not? What's the worst that could happen? Well, obviously, you can see right now, this is what's the worst that could happen. We now have our own radio show after just one interview on the radio, you know. And so I didn't want to do it by myself. So I was like, hey, Prosperity Professor, you got a great voice for radio. Let's do something together. We already go live every week. We might as well turn it into a live broadcast. Broadcast it not just live on Instagram, but live all over the world on NSF Radio. And so here we are. And so really our whole goal is to just kind of spread awareness on financial literacy, financial education, and just let everybody know we're real people. Real people. You know, we are growing. We're in our journey where we're starting to build and amass wealth, because I don't know about you, Ryan, but I want to be rich. Like rich. Not richy rich, but like, you know, you ever seen that movie Richy Rich with Kelly Culkin?
I was just talking about that movie the other day. Like, I always freaking wanted a fountain in my house that had Kool-Aid coming out. But I actually made that dream happen. Like, literally in college, I got into brewing because Richie Rich inspired me, and I just got into brewing, and I bought a kegerator. I literally had stuff on tap all day long, man. I made my own ginger ale, my own sodas. But that's the thing about life. Yeah. It's like, you don't say no. And you don't say no to opportunities when they come along. And you also don't say no to the things that you hear inside yourself. And I hear a lot of people in my own life. I see a lot of students when I was a teacher. I see a lot of adults tell themselves no because of God knows what. I can't do it because of the bills. I can't do it because I got kids. I can't do it because I got a job. I can't do it because that won't work. Like, you don't, like, if you really own YOLO, the YOLO movement really hit me. And maybe it was because I was a philosophy major in college, but we only have one life. Yeah. Like, what are you saying?
You only got one life.
Who are you living for? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And
man.
So,
absolutely.
Dude, I want to be rich too, but the reason exactly. I want to be rich is because I believe that everybody, like, if you're a human being, you were born, you deserve prosperity. I believe that in my bones. And when I've traveled all over the world, I've seen some of the greatest joys and some of the worst sufferings literally across the street. It shakes me up. That's shit that keeps me awake at night. And when I finally discovered these concepts, and originally I was just doing this to help my mom out with her retirement. And my mom was not set up for retirement at all. My mom was a teacher for 30 years. This was back in 2018. And when we actually, like, checked her retirement situation, it was not looking good. It was not good.
Yeah.
So my mom, my dear mother, who, you know, drove my sister and I to every activity we ever wanted to do, stayed up late with us on projects we forgot to tell her about. What's up, Lovabug? You know, my mom was everything for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned around and looked what she had accumulated for being this amazing teacher for 30 years, we couldn't go anywhere in the small town of Carlsbad without somebody knowing her. When you're a teacher in a small town for 30 years, literally the waiter,
everybody knows
the person at the gas station, the person driving down the street, everybody is either a student or a parent or knows you. And that's who my mom was. But her retirement situation was nothing, bro. It was like $2,000 pension for the rest of, you know, for the rest of her life a month. What happens when she has medical bills? What happens for her, you know, her mortgage? And so we needed to get ahead of this. And so we started the process. That's when I discovered the indexing strategies. That's when I discovered annuities. That's when I learned about guaranteed income streams. And now we're 3 years later, and my mom just retired this year. And
awesome,
she has 2.5 times the amount of money that she was going to be getting originally 3 years ago, per month for the rest of her life, as well as additional benefits. And that was all because I literally just had to study it myself for her. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized, man, that this was my calling. Mm-hmm. Like, I needed to make sure that, if I can do that for her and the standard system wasn't working for her, there's other people out there that it's not working for. And the things that we're talking about are completely different than what every other particular financial advisor is telling you, right? Mm-hmm. They're telling you, keep it in the stock market. Well, the markets are up. Keep it in the stock market. Well, the markets are down. Just hold it. Just keep it. Keep it in there, right?
When you keep it in there.
I think where we're different is the strategies that we're trying to show people give you control. And we make sure that our clients are the main benefactors of their life work and not the IRS, the state, federal taxes, and everyone else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? We give people control. And that's why I love this stuff.
So is it safe to say that you decided to change your career because you learned some new information and you just were like, wow, that's amazing? And it, you just – there was like a shift there?
Well, for me, man, so after college I was a philosophy major. I just had all these big lofty thoughts. I was going to change the world. I was – like I came out of USF being a philosophy major. I thought I figured it all out and I was going to change the world. But how is it going to change the world? Through teaching. I was going to do it through teaching. I was going to educate the youth just like my mother. And I actually was a classroom teacher from 2009 till 2019. So about 10 years. And I was going to change the world. But what I realized after that, when I started this business on the side back in 2018, was that in the classroom, I got 25 kids. And to be honest, most of them aren't listening most of the time, right? I might get through to like 3, maybe 4, maybe 7 kids a year, like actually get through to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I realized, like in business, you can help a lot more people. And so I was kind of, I see myself doing this for the rest of my life, picking up the phone, hearing someone about what they want to do and teaching them some strategies they can do to get there, letting them get their joy and their prosperity. I could see myself doing that for the rest of my life. And I love it. So that's why I switched.
That's what's up, bro. I was kind of the same way, you know, but I ain't gonna sugarcoat it. I got into the life insurance business and I'm talking about slanging life insurance, hardcore door to door.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People rejecting you left or right. It was so uncomfortable, but I'm so grateful.
Wait. Let's stop right there because let me ask you about that. You did door knocking?
Yes, I did door knocking.
You said knock, knock, knock.
I said,
It says like, lost like that on you, Brandon. I can hear you.
Oh, God. Wait.
There you go. Put that back in.
How about now?
Test the sound. Can you guys hear Brandon?
Can y'all hear? Okay, I think I know what happened. Let me go here. I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back.
All right. Yeah, he tells this story often about how he's trying to get the money. But here's the thing. If you're actually trying to get money.
All right, go ahead and let me back in.
Life insurance is not really the one thing to go to. I mean, starting sales and life insurance is not like a get-rich-quick scheme.
How about now? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. So I don't even know what they heard or not. I think I said, I ain't going to sugarcoat nothing. I got into the life insurance business because I wanted to make money. I was working a job that I hated, making $18 an hour, 50 hours a week, and I worked enough because I was broke. I was literally broke. I literally was waking up, working 45, 50 hours a week, and at the end of the month, there was more month left than I had money. So I know I needed to make a change. That was literally it. But something amazing happened because I met somebody who was making like $10,000 a month. And he was slanging life insurance. Like, that's the, hey, you filled out this card. You must want some life insurance. And I'm like, wait a minute, time out. You mean to tell me that these people are actually filling out cards because they want to buy life insurance and all you got to do is show up and sell it to them? And he was like, yeah, it sounded easy. It ain't that easy. Let's be real. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for that point in time of my life because it built me. You feel me? It built me. You know, and
that's right.
This is what stops most people. I know those of you listening to us on NSF radio can't hear or can't see this, but this is everybody's who isn't like really making it. This is their problem, right? So here is you. Here is everything you want. Money, security. What else? What are some other things people want?
Freedom.
It all kind of comes down to freedom.
It's free.
That's
it's
what's standing in the middle.
People, they want
rejection. That is the only thing that is standing between you and everything else you want. Rejection.
That's great, man.
Criticism. Worrying about what people are going to think about you. How many people would knock, go and knock on a door, a stranger's door, and sell them life insurance? To only tell them that, hey, I don't even want it. I'm like, what do you mean? You filled this card out. What do you mean you don't want it?
You filled the card out. This is your name. This is your address.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of my
property. So I was like, man, there has to be. Got it. So I was like, man, there has to be an easier way and a better way, because that's me. I'm always looking for an easier way and a quicker way. And I ended up learning about indexing strategies because I kept hearing this thing like, selling like term life insurance and like final expense, because that was a market I started in, because like that's old people, like they
buy more transactional
life insurance.
You're gonna buy it or not?
Exactly.
Should or get up?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, this is a hard sale because these people ain't got no money. And I noticed, I was like, a lot of these people have, they don't have money or life insurance, and they owe. What happened to them? You know what I'm saying? And so I saw that. What up, cuz? I saw that, and I was like, I don't want that to be me when I get older. You know what I mean? And I kept hearing this stuff about and so I'm going to take it back a little bit, because I always want to do stuff quicker and easy, not because I'm lazy. I just always think there's a better way. And it seemed like the term life and final expense was the easier route, because it was like, wait a minute, these people need it. They're about to die. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But I always would hear stuff about whole life, or you can use that savings account, or you can do this and tax free. And I was like, "What? I ain't got time to learn all that stuff. I need money now." That literally was it. I felt like it took so much time to learn all the language, the tax codes. How to design. There is so much stuff that goes into a cash value life insurance policy that there's a reason why only 1% of the people who actually sell life insurance, sell cash value life insurance, because it literally is a, it's like designing a house or something. You gotta like, it's like being an architect. There's so much that goes into it.
Yeah, I was gonna say like a Rolex watch,
you know. And honestly, that is the piece when I learned about the cash value part, the tax free strategies. I was like, wait a minute, I need this for myself. This is what I was looking for.
Same. Same.
That's what I said.
When I first heard about the IUL, I looked into it, and I was sold from that day. I was sold that day. Mm-hmm. I signed up that day. I said, I was on a teaching income and not making a lot, like basically month to month, but I was like, look, $200 mm-hmm. a month, and I signed up that day. And now it's that same plan that I first started back in 2018 that I'm now leveraging to do real estate deals this year.
Yeah.
So
wow,
like this, it's incredibly powerful in the short term. Mm. It's even better in the long term, and it's even better if you use it the whole way through.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's my story. And so
handmade
the
life
process,
insurance.
handmade life insurance. That's what it is.
But like life
and
insurance,
so like the process.
Artisan.
I got. Right, so I got extremely passionate because I got built. Like I said, I'd like to say I use the word built, because I wasn't always the person that you see talking right now on the radio and live on Instagram. I mean, I was always here, but I was always shy. I was afraid of, like, rejection and being criticized. So I used to always try to fit in and kind of just be like everybody else.
Dude, but, I'm super shy.
Yeah. But I learned that I couldn't make any money and be shy at the same time.
That's, you know, what gets
it's
me
impossible.
On is – you know what gets me on it, on both in teaching, I was the same thing. Like, I'm the same in business, because the business that I do is teaching. Is that when, if we're just hanging out, I'll probably say it might be like 100 words an hour. It might, I'm a, you know, kind of few words, But if I have something important to teach that I know is going to benefit someone, or I'm in the position of teacher and it's my responsibility to give that information, I'm motivated by that. And it kind of gets me, it gets me over the hump. And it's seeing the 70-year-old lady that I talked to today. And it's probably seeing all the seniors that you saw in your final expense business that motivates you to help and just try to get people to see that they can avoid that situation that they're getting to.
Yeah, exactly. Because can you hear me through?
I can hear you.
I don't know if they can hear me through.
I can hear you through the
Instagram, because I think what happens is the I get like this notification. Hopefully somebody says yes, they can hear me, and I forgot what I was going to say. Now, but dang, what was I going to say? Don't you hate when that happens? You have a thought and then it just goes away. You know, okay, thank you. That's what it was. So I got extremely passionate. I was like, okay, I can use this stuff and this information for myself. I got obsessed with it. I'm still obsessed with it. Like every day I'm like, you know, reading articles on just different strategies and things like that, because I believe in you always got to like practice your craft. It's like if you work out every day and then you stop working out and then try to go back and work out again, you're going to lose some. And so I don't want to restart and start over from the beginning. And I started thinking, I was like, well, what if I keep all this information to myself and I don't tell nobody else? And I fast forward 20 years from now, 25 years from now, 30 years from now, and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But everybody else who I knew, they was some of those other people who I used to try to sell, some of those old people I used to try to sell life insurance to.
You remember what happened to me last year with my old student? My old student and his parents?
Uh-uh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Literally, remember, bro. That. Is that story too sad for this? We only got like 10 minutes.
I don't think so.
Literally. Okay, so this story starts back in 2000, probably early 2019. And this was my last year teaching, and I was getting going in insurance. I had some pretty good understandings about insurance. I was teaching fifth grade in West Oakland. I had a class, 25 kids, beautiful kids. Like really, it was a great year, man. It was like a rocket year. I had a bunch of really smart pencil kids. Now in West Oakland, you may not know this, but my school was like 99% African American, 99% free lunch, and every kid in our school lived pretty much in the housing development across the street. So, you know, not a ton of money, but you know, just love for their kids, and they want their kids to do great just like everybody else. I had one student in particular who had a dad who was real cool with me. He always, you know, he always chopped it up every time he went to pick up his son. And I do this with everybody. Like if it comes up in conversation when we talk about money, I mentioned, you know, look, if you're looking for something where you could grow your money safely, keep it liquid, and create it into potentially a tax, you know, tax advantage income stream later on, we should chat. And he said, oh, dude, that sounds great. And he was always real positive about it. I talked to him about it a couple times. Hey, let's sit down and talk. And he was like, oh, yeah, Mr. Stone, for sure. Just real busy this week. The same old, same old. You know, you've heard that. But he's real positive. He's never negative about it. And you could see it in his eyes that he, like, wanted to, but it just never came around.
Uh-huh.
Flash forward, in May of last year, so this is in the height of COVID. It was, I don't want to say the boy's name, but it was the boy's mom's birthday. They were all celebrating. And on driving home, the mom and the dad crashed on 580 right above Best Buy. Right. If you know the Bay Area, 580
right over
the Best Buy. They actually crashed. It was a rainy night and it crashed on the way home, and both parents died on impact. And only the mom had life insurance. Only the mom had life insurance at work. She had about 10K. And when I heard the news, man, like I'm actually choking up right now, but I lost sleep on it for a couple of weeks because sat down with his dad, had I been a little bit more pushy and been like, look, man, this is important. Had I been a little bit more pushy, you know, that boy would be set up right now.
Yeah.
Much more
yeah.
so than
Look,
he is.
I want you to know something, Ryan. It is not your fault. You cannot be
Look, I know.
You cannot make somebody do something that you can't make somebody do something they don't want to do at all. I don't care how hard you try.
Here's a happy correlation ending to that. Number one, take a look at your own story. Do you have a foundation? That's a good way to circle it up. About 6 minutes later. Do you have a foundation in place that is going to keep you afloat no matter what? I'll keep you safe or not. I swear I can hear you, bro.
I know what happened.
He'll come back. So make sure you have a safe foundation in place. I got you. And then second of all, you know, what I ended up doing with him is I'm actually still working. The boy's now living with his grandmother, who's a little bit older. I actually campaigned a GoFundMe for him. And if you guys like, I'll put the GoFundMe back up. It's still running, but I actually raised around $30,000 for the boy just through GoFundMe, which is amazing. And they're super grateful.
Yeah.
We're going to turn it into a couple different options that's going to continue to grow for him. He'll continue to have access to it. But, I mean, just think of what if he had just gotten like a $100,000 term for $20 or like a $500,000 term, you know? Or I just sold a 36-year-old a $1 million term, a 10-year term for $1 million. Guess how much it's going to cost him per month?
Probably about $15, $20.
$16 a month, Brandon.
Yeah, $16 a month. Yeah.
For the price of a Little Caesar's pizza, he could have put $1 million into his boy's hands. You know what I mean? So I love what we do, and I know that nobody wants to buy life insurance, and that's why we try and make it fun and show you the benefits of while you're living. But truth of the matter is, nothing does what life insurance does.
Yeah.
It's dollars for pennies, and it buys you time that you don't know if you don't have.
It literally buys you money. Money when you live and money when you die. That's what life insurance, that's what it does. You know what I'm saying? If you take out the word insurance and maybe call it a lifetime interest account, yeah, you probably will buy it then.
You know what's funny? This reminds me, here's a little history tidbit. When the Vikings discovered Iceland and Greenland, right? You know that story? They named Iceland, even though it's really beautiful, and they named Greenland, even though it's cold as fuck and nobody should ever want to live there. Shout out to Greenland. If you live there, I hope it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing in real time, right? So you have qualified accounts. That sounds good.
That
but
sounds
what does
good.
That qualify? It qualifies you to owe the IRS a TBD amount. How much? We don't know. We'll find out later.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Oh, a high yield savings account.
Savings account. Yeah.
A high yield savings account will get you a what? A 1%?
Yeah.
Maybe? Is that the high yields that we're supposed to believe?
Yeah. Right. Hey, let's drop some quick knowledge, though, real quick. Qualified versus non-qualified. Qualified accounts, just like you said, qualifies you to pay taxes, qualifies you to be penalized if you withdraw early. That's what it qualifies you for. It sounds like a good thing, qualified account. What am I qualified for? Versus a non-qualified account, a tax-free account. Doesn't sound great because, like, non-qualified.
They don't want
you to. My
accounts are
qualified.
Don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and they're making
life
it
insurance
even harder.
Is a non qualified account. Roth IRAs are a non qualified account. Non qualified funds is just cash, liquid cash. So, everything is basically non qualified if it's not IRA or TSP or 403B
Dude,
or 401K
I just
or
403B. This is super nerdy. This is for the two, there's two insurance agents that are on here. This is for, I think, AG84 that just, there recently was a bill that
AG
49.
49,
thank you. And so Congress just put out a bill, and they're actually giving out more now that are putting regulations around the illustrations for life insurance. So that's one of the biggest tools for cash value life insurance agents is to show an illustration and show what this could do, because most people don't have an idea that life insurance could actually pay you while you're living. Now, there was bad agents out there that were making these illustrations look like something they will never be, and that's why the law is in place. But guess what else it does? It further murkies the water around the product that could actually give you some real benefit in life, doesn't it? Because now life insurance agents are more restricted the illustrations are only allowed to be at a certain level, which on paper, it's never going to be what a fiduciary or financial advisor could show you with a securities product.
Mm-hmm.
And the backwards ass of that is the papers that we're showing are much more guaranteed, and the ones they're showing have zero.
Right. Completely opposite. And so just so you know, that is designed, it's a system. It's a system. It's designed to keep money inside of the system, to keep money leveraged and to keep money moving.
That's right.
So yeah, that's why it's important to understand macroeconomics, not just macroeconomics, global economics, to understand how money moves and circulates from person to person, from country to country. That's extremely important to understand that, understand the leverage, stuff like that. I feel like we went over today, but I think we covered a lot of good stuff. How about yourself?
I think we can wrap it up. If you guys have any questions, feel free to type it in the chat and we'll say them out loud. Or you can call into the radio at any time, 516-418-5805. You can call in and be on the radio right now. So if you got any questions, well, we appreciate you guys for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
As always, Brandon, I got to say a self plug for us, man. We have we got Money Talk hats and merchandise coming out. You're going to need to get rid of that Lion Star one, man.
I am going to get rid of this Lion Star one, man, but I won it. And so for me, it's a trophy.
That's cool.
It's a trophy. It's a trophy.
Hey, I think I was there that day you won that cat. I know how hard it is to wear that stuff.
Yeah. And I like to pay homage and respect because I learned a lot and I was taught a lot of good things from the old company I used to be with. You know what I'm saying? I met a lot of great people.
I texted them Happy New Year.
It's always all love for me. You know?
I texted our old broker Happy New Year, man. I feel the same way.
Yeah, man. I want everybody to win.
I do too, man.
You feel me? So with that being said, thank you all for watching and listening to Money Talk Live on NSF Radio. We're going to see you again at the same time next week, next Tuesday, where we're going to be
talking
about whatever you want us to talk about. All right, man. Later.
Later, guys.